that's sometimes a tough discussion because there's time pressure, of course. So it takes a bit of guts to actually say, no, we need to pause because we need to understand first before we can actually continue.
Do you know the secret behind a successful team? In this podcast, dream teams share their powerful collaboration and reveal how they turn today's ideas into tomorrow's solutions. Discover the story of change makers who share their innovative journey with our host, Travis Shepard. This is Dream Teams.
Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 8 of the Dream Teams podcast. And I know you all have enjoyed the first 7 episodes. And now here we are all the way at number 8. It's been a great journey so far. Today, I want to talk about a project that we did here at PwC, where 6 Dutch banks agreed to a compensation scheme because they had presented entrepreneurs with complicated financial products in the past. PwC was asked to check this compensation for the clients of the banks. I'm here today with 2 of the members of the team from PwC, Elika Reva.
Yes.
All right, got it. And Martijn Janssen.
Hi, Travis.
Hi. Good to see you both. Thank you very much. Now, because I know you both are huge fans of this podcast, you know that I ask every team or every guest that comes in here what their idea of a dream team is. And then I also talk about one of my dream teams. I have yet to talk about my team here at PwC, which is absolutely a dream team. And I came into this situation. I came from the U.S. and was fortunate enough to have such a great team. And we all have all those things that make up a great team. We have different experiences, different background, different perspectives, all those things that we talked a lot about. But the other thing is that they really push me and we push each other. And I think that's another sign or another part of being a great team is pushing each other. But I also want to hear from both of you and what your dream team is. So, Martijn, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I would say it's. I'm not a big Formula One fan, or I wasn't, but since the last year, I am, I guess, and I'm pretty impressed by the Red Bull Racing team. Of course, it's one person or two persons racing in a car, but it's, I think, about 1,300 people in the back doing all this work all together to make sure that the end result is there. So I think that's pretty impressive for a dream team.
And each plays their part, but it's all part of a common goal. But 1,300, that's a lot. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's amazing. Huh?
I'd ask you, Elika, the same.
Yeah, I think I've got a smaller example. At PwC, next to my normal, my day-to-day work, I'm also part of the Connected Cultures Board.
Ah, okay.
And what I like about that group of people, that team, is that we truly have a common goal and we have a purpose as a board. And everybody brings in their own perspectives. You already mentioned it as well, that having that diverse view really makes it a great team to be part of. So I'm honored to be part of that board.
That's great. Yeah, I'm very familiar with Connected Cultures, who our work in the DI and Burst My Bubble, which you talked about in one of our other episodes.
Yes, so, indeed.
Excellent. Good to have you both here. And so, Martijn, talk a little bit about your specific role on this project, the derivatives project, and maybe without getting too crazy, too deep, a little bit about what the project was.
I'm an auditor from background.
Okay.
Which means that typically on a day-to-day basis, I go to companies and I check what they're doing in reporting financial figures. And this was a special project where we came in and within a relatively short time, we had to check these calculations. But the moment we came in, the calculations were not ready. And we'll give you some background later on, but also the rules for the calculations were not ready. So it was, the whole setting was relatively complex.
Okay. And it sounds like a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You could say that.
All right. Elika, talk a little bit about your role on this project as well.
Well, I'm not an auditor. I work in consulting in data analytics. So normally my role is to analyze and calculate things in a smart manner. So we try to, do things quicker, smarter, and try to find innovative ways to actually get normally to a solution. So no auditing for us normally, no checking normally, just doing. So that was our perspective on this team.
So you're talking basically to do different worlds here. Eh? So where the auditor typically looks back and calculates as a rule book, and it's all often a bit compliance driven. Elika, who is in general, by the way, a bit modest, eh? So she typically works in a much more agile way. Eh? Looks forward, thinks of new things. So one thing that I think also makes this project very interesting is that if we would do it the traditional way and calculate it manually, we would never make it. So what Elika did basically is build a tool, which was a pretty big tool actually, that replaced people like me. So in the end, still, it was an audit assignment there. So we still issued, an opinion. But Elika came up with ways to automate it. And because of all the complexities within that engine, but you can talk about it, I guess, that made it not that easy to do.
So, and I think tool probably undersells it a little bit, because it sounds like it was a machine, or we've had a few guests on here that have talked about robotic process automation, actual robots. And it sounds like this might fall within that as well, which is interesting from a dream team perspective, right?
Yeah. Well, in the greater scheme of the project, we built multiple tools.
Okay.
But the core engine was the calculation engine. And we started with, well, if you have to check the calculations, we'll do the calculations ourselves. And since there's so many,
yeah,
we'll build a tool, a machine to do so.
Right.
And we thought quite straightforward, why not do it like this? And we're fine. And I think that's where the diverse perspectives really came together. And we had the first discussions, because then we talked to the auditors, and it was an audit assignment. I said, well, checking by a tool? What? What a tool we build ourselves? How does that work? So that was totally new. And we really had to take a deep dive in each other's perspectives to find out, okay, but what does it take? Why is it such a challenge for an auditor to do an audit by a tool that we build ourselves? And they had to take a deep dive in why would it work? And we were both challenged, because we need to look for new ways of doing this audit, because, well, we've never done it before.
So imagine if you would do this manually, which you could do, obviously, sure, you would take a sheet and you would do, 30 calculations manually. You have inputs, you calculate it, and you have an outcome. Now, and Elika always talks about little train wagons. She's starting to program stuff. And you look at it, you have no clue what it is if you're not a programmer, which I'm not. So
sort of like looking at the Matrix.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of numbers, but she can see.
So this would take me, a few hours to calculate all of this. And Elika would sit next to me and said, oh, I see what you're doing. And then, but I already programmed it. So just give me your inputs and, oh, this is the result. And wait a minute, that goes a bit fast. It's okay. It's close, but talk me through. And so the machine, if you look at it, has many more lines and characters, but in the end, can be tweaked, quickly. And of course, the big win of this is that if you automate it this way, you can do, from a volume perspective, many more calculations quicker. But it's, if you're used to feeling it and doing it yourself, it's the tool is, you have to trust the tool.
Yeah, but we can't just say, well, trust it, because we do understand that for the other party, it's the black box.
Right,
And it's difficult to trust the black box. So you need to give a bit more comfort than just saying, it's the black box, and trust us, it will be fine,
It'll all work out.
It'll all work out. Don't worry about it. We couldn't say that either.
So it sounds like there was this meeting together in the middle in terms of coming from one angle, coming from another. And Martin, you mentioned building of this platform, this tool, or this machine that would replace people like you, that's got to be a little bit, not threatening, but a little concerning maybe. Is that part of the process also?
I think that that's very fair to say. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So from on the one side, it was a necessity because we needed it, but it was the unknown that made it difficult, and also kind of the control. Huh? So an agile way of working means that you learn from your mistakes. And the room for error here was very small. So it was not only us doing these checks, but there was also other people looking, along our shoulders, basically.
Right.
Regulators, supervisors, etc. So we wanted to have full control over it. And Alik is sitting there programming and doing things. And, oh, this is a mistake. Let's fix it. It didn't feel quite right. But Alik came up with a few suggestions to give us a bit more comfort on that.
What were those suggestions? How did you give them that level of comfort?
We've created a dynamic dashboard on which all the files that were running were visualized.
Okay.
And we would not send out like checked, this is okay.
Like a checkbox.
We checked this file. We would not send that check out before we understood each and every outlier. Why is this so high? Why is this so low? Do we truly understand the final outcome? And that's what Martijn often refers to as the CSI dashboard, because like a huge screen and everybody's trying to understand and zooming in and zooming out and, you know, really taking a deep dive on all the files that we already dealt with.
So picture this wall where in this case, the woman standing in front of the wall and doing all these fancy things. And you wonder who's doing this in their day-to-day work. Well, Alik was, because Alik was presenting the outcome of each file on kind of a visual, and you could see outliers. And I really recall the first time we did this, we also brought actually the client in and we said, you know, this is how it looks like. And at first everyone would say, well, why are we sitting here? I mean, you did all the work, we have comfort in you, we're done, right? No, but wait a minute, let's do this. And we ticked an example and it popped open. And we said, hey, wait a minute, you know, this is very strange. Why is it there? Oh, because of that reason. And so we went through and we picked a few from the screen and we opened them and we saw the reason why they were there on the plot. And actually that gave a lot of comfort, because suddenly everything that was under, you know, in this tool that you could not see became visual. So, I'm always pretty excited about this, what I call the CSI tool.
Those are really exciting meetings also for us as a team, because building that dashboard was a team effort, of course, because there was a lot of work that went into it. And then if we had the meeting together with Martijn's team and with the client, it was to go live. And we were well prepared. So we thought, oh, we fully understand. But sometimes questions pop up. And we had a few meetings that after debating for more than an hour, like, okay, we just need to go back to the drawing board, because we need to understand first how this truly works before we can actually continue. And that's sometimes a tough discussion, because there's time pressure, of course. So it takes a bit of guts to actually say, no, we need to pause, because we need to understand first before we can actually continue.
So talking about this way of displaying this information in a CSI manner, which is great show, everybody loves, how can we apply that every day?
You start together, everybody goes into their own expertise, does their own thing, you bring it together, back together. And then in the final stage, you sit together and you look at the screen and the personal stories behind each and every file that you compensate. And I think that truly helped also for the team building. So not just for the quality of work, but also for the team building and respecting where the other person is coming from.
This is Dream Teams.
There was a lot of challenges here, right? And I think that everybody can relate to these projects that are there's a time constraint, there's a lot of factors, there's a certain amount of pressure. Tell me how the team rose to that pressure, or some of the camaraderie that came out of that pressure.
So first of all, the team was very diverse. Huh? So we had people from all sorts of backgrounds within the firm together. We had Alika with a data analyst, we had auditors, but we had specialists from various groups. And I think what really helped us, because we had a lot of challenges, we learned from a lot of mistakes. There was pressure. There was a huge volume we had to go through within a relatively short period of time. But I think what really helped is that people could really, you know, stand up and have their own contribution. And so we had stand-up meetings like a few times in the week where initially, we were used to go through an agenda when we had a meeting, but here there was a stand up and there were no wrongs, so people could just bring the thing that they thought important, and people just rose up and had amazing contributions, and also talking to the client here is really get support for what we were doing. So I'm pretty proud of that.
I think actually that all the complexity and all the pressure that was on the project and the scale of the project it was kind of a blessing in disguise because we need to do it differently. So you couldn't stay safe and just do your own task and be fine with it because you need to take an interest in why what the other person was doing and why they were doing it in order to make the project successful. So it really challenged us, but it really, well, you need to go beyond your own boundaries because otherwise...
It's not going to work.
It's not going to work, indeed.
Love it. Well, this goes quick, as we mentioned.
Yes.
We are running up against the end of our time together, and it's been excellent. I really, really appreciate your time, first and foremost. Martijn, I would look at you first and say, what was one of the key learnings that came out of this? What's something that you're going to carry forward into your next project here?
Yeah, I think this is really the we often talk in the audit profession about the audit of the future. I think this was it. So what I take forward is just try new things and dare to do things differently.
Alika, I'd ask you the same thing.
Take an honest interest in the other person's perspective. And know your own why, know what you're doing and why you want to achieve it. But at the same time, try to take a deep dive in what is the other person's perspective and why do they want to do it differently so you can come to a joint solution. I think that was the main achievement of this assignment, at least from my perspective.
Excellent. Great. Great team. A dream team, if you will. I do want to thank you both very much for your time this morning. This was excellent. Great conversation. And I really appreciate it. You made a complex subject really interesting and easy. So I got it. I think hopefully everybody else will as well. So again, thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next time on Dream Teams.
Next episode, we're going to be talking to Muse IC, which uses music to help patients in intensive care. And really, music helps everybody, so especially in this case. So stay tuned next time. I think it'll be really interesting, and see you then.
BWC shares a passionate community of solvers, creating new solutions for a new day. That's the new equation.
That's the new equation.
If you have thoughts or ideas, please share them with us.